Good to be with you all again. And for the introduction to the message this morning, I'd like to do something a little different. And for all of you children who would like to, you can come up to the first two benches on this side. We'll have a little children's meeting for the beginning of the message. All right. This is a little tight in here. Why don't some of you older ones sit right back here? Then you don't have to be quite as tight. I think there's some people that are... Do two of you want to go back here? Thank you. Okay. And then now the rest of you can scoot down a little bit. There. I wouldn't like to sit quite that tight. So thank you all for coming front. You can just sit right there. That's fine. I have a question for you all to start. If you could choose something to do in a day that would make you really happy, or I should ask it this way, what makes you really happy? I'd like you to think about this a little bit. What makes a day a really good day, or what makes you happy? I'd like to hear something. Matthias? When what? When you obey your parents, that's a good one. Sure, toys? Okay, I like these. These are good ones. What makes you really happy? I want you to keep thinking about it. Play with friends? That sounds like an exciting time. What's that? Yeah? So, maybe sometimes your mom makes a meal that you really like. Does that make you happy or sad? Happy. Yep, we like to eat food that we like, right? Those things make us happy. Or as Ezekiel said, playing with friends, doing what's right, obeying your parents, those things make you happy. This morning I would like to talk about two different boys for the start. And the first one I'm going to call Happy Harry. And I have a smiley face on this balloon here. We're going to pretend this is Happy Harry, okay? And I want to tell you why Harry was feeling so happy. So Harry had a birthday coming up, and his parents told him that they're going to have a birthday party for him. So he was really excited about this party. He was looking forward to it. The day came for his birthday party. Some of Harry's friends came over, and at his birthday party, they had cake, they had ice cream. Happy Harry was really happy. He had some good food to eat. He had friends to be with. And another thing that made him really happy, his parents gave him a birthday gift that he was really wanting. It was a remote control truck. Any of you have remote control? Anything remote controlled at home? Those things are pretty fun sometimes. Harry was very happy. And as time went on, Harry enjoyed coming home from school and he would play with his RC truck. But a few weeks went by, and the excitement was wearing off a little bit, and then one of Harry's close friends, he got an RC truck as well, but Harry's friend's truck was a little bigger and a little faster than Harry's truck. Harry wasn't quite as happy as he had been with his RC. And as time went on, he actually became more and more jealous of his friend's RC because it was bigger, it was faster, and Happy Harry wasn't as happy. And one day, Harry talked to his mom and dad, and he's saying, I want a bigger RC, a bigger remote control truck like my friend has. See, Harry was having trouble being happy anymore because he was more jealous of what his friend had. So, for the sake of the object lesson, I'm going to illustrate. I have a lighter here, and I'm going to test what happens when we think of a lighter or fire. Sometimes as we go through life, things happen to us that maybe steal our happiness, where we don't feel as happy, maybe some bad things happen. And when our happiness is just based on what we get, what our friends give to us or what the good things that happen to us. Sometimes that happiness does not always... Sometimes that happiness goes away, right? Kind of like Harry's happiness kind of popped, right? It went away. So I'd like to contrast that with another balloon. We'll call this balloon. See the happy smiley face there? We'll call him Joyful Jimmy. How's that sound? So let's talk about Joyful Jimmy. So Jimmy also liked to be with friends. He liked good food, things like that too, just like Happy Harry did. But Jimmy's friends loved being around him. Now, Jimmy didn't always have things very easy in his life. So Jimmy's legs, Jimmy was born crippled, and his legs he couldn't walk. Jimmy was in a wheelchair. Now we think of that as, when we see someone in a wheelchair, that's kind of sad, right? But see, Jimmy chose to have joy, even though he couldn't walk. And Jimmy was fun to be around. His friends liked to be with him because Jimmy was typically very joyful. And even though Jimmy was sad sometimes, he chose to be joyful and he chose to be thankful that he had a wheelchair, because Jimmy knew there's some boys like him that can't walk and they don't have a wheelchair and they can't get around unless, you know, they're carried around as they get older. Obviously, the parents can't really carry them around everywhere. So even though life wasn't always easy, I'm going to try this again with this flame and we'll see what happens to Joyful Jimmy. It's not popping. Joyful Jimmy, even though he wasn't maybe, even though he went through some difficult times, he was joyful in spite of being in a wheelchair. And I want us to remember that in order for us to be happy, it shouldn't just depend on the good things that we're surrounded by or the good things that we have. We can choose to be joyful even when things don't always go exactly like we would like them to. I have another story to tell you. Well, actually, before we do that, so who can tell me what the difference between happiness or being happy and being joyful? I'd like to hear some answers. So Harry was happy, at least for a time. Jimmy was joyful. What's the difference between joyfulness and happiness? Matthias. Oh, that's a good one. Matthias says, joyfulness lasts longer. I like that answer. Any others? Enjoying what you have? Yeah, that's a good one. Anyone else? So the story is told, this I believe is a true story. It was in the 19th century, a man named John Vassar. So he was giving out, this man named John, he was giving out Bibles as he was traveling across America. One of the Bibles he gave went to a Christian woman, and this woman took the Bible home in her house, but there was a problem. Her husband was an atheist. An atheist is someone who does not believe in God, or does not believe God exists. This atheist, when he saw the Bible in his house, he became very angry with his wife, and he took that Bible, and he went out to his woodshed, and he took the axe to the woodshed and chopped the Bible in half. And he threw half the Bible at his wife and basically says, you can have half your Bible now, here it is. And the other half of the Bible he just pitched in his tool shed. See, he was a very angry man. Some months later, it was during the winter time, and he was out in his tool shed, and he happened to see this half of the Bible that he pitched in there. And he didn't have a whole lot to do at the time, and he started reading the pages in the Bible. And he got to this page where it talked about the prodigal son. You familiar with that story, the prodigal son? And he read how this young man thought he could live a better life than what he had, than what his father was giving him. So he went to his dad and said, Dad, I'd like you to give me all my inheritance money. I want my money, I want it now. And the father, he gave it to his son, and that son went out, and he thought, you know what, if I could, you know, buy the nicest car, or buy all these things, you know, then I could be happy, then I could have a really good life. And maybe he had some happy times, but soon this man, this prodigal son, he ran out of money. and he got very hungry. And he found a job working for a farmer, and he worked for this farmer and was feeding his pigs. And one day he was so hungry, he thought, even the pig's food looks pretty good to eat. Now, I don't know about you. We have some animals in our shed, and we have some animal feed out there. But I've never really gotten hungry to eat the animal's feed. Now, some of it might not taste too bad, maybe some of the feed, but we don't go to the animal shed to find food for ourselves. He was so hungry, this food looked pretty good. And this young man thought, you know, I'd be better off going back to my dad and working for him, and I know my dad would give me good food. And this young man came to his right mind, and he went back to his dad. And that Jesus told that story about the prodigal son to illustrate a picture of us going back to God. Sometimes we go our own ways and we do something that might not be right. And just like that prodigal son went back to his father, we should all go back to God. And as this atheist is reading this story in the Bible, there was a problem. He got to the end of the page, and that's where he chopped the Bible in half. He couldn't finish the story of the prodigal son. And he became very interested. So he went in the house and he looked for the other half of the Bible, but he couldn't find the other half of the Bible. So he built up enough of courage to and go ask his wife and say, "Where's the other half of the Bible?" And his wife got him the other half of the Bible that he chopped in half. And he started reading how this young man was forgiven for what he had done. And God loved him so much that God forgave him. And the man's father forgave him as well. And this atheist, God began to work in this atheist. And this man eventually became a Christian. He surrendered his heart to Jesus Christ. And God gave that atheist, well, he was no longer an atheist, God gave him joy. And that's what I want to talk about this morning in the message. So as you go back to your parents, I want you to think about the word joy. So happiness, it's good to be happy. God wants us to be happy, and happiness and joy are very closely connected. But as I believe Matthias said, joy is longer lasting. And I'll talk more about that in the message. So thank you for coming front. You can go back to your parents. You can turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. If you were here a few weeks ago, I had shared from Galatians 5, and my plan is to go through the fruits of the Spirit and look at them specifically. This morning, I'd like to, as already mentioned in the children's meeting, I'd like to dial in on the fruit of joy. And I'd like to read a few verses here, again, just for a bit of context. So this is Paul that is writing here in Galatians 5, and he's encouraging the Christians to continue on in their Christian walk. And he says this in verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16 says this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another." And I'll stop reading there. As I mentioned in the last message, thinking about bearing fruit, this being fruit of the Spirit, we know, like a fruit tree, good fruit doesn't usually come without some work. Now, it's true that a fruit tree can bear fruit, some fruit, you know, without maybe us putting any work in it. But if we want to have the best harvest, if we want to experience good fruit, it takes some work for the one who is growing the fruit. It takes some pruning and keeping after the trees. And I think it's a little bit the same with the fruits of the Spirit. While these fruits of the Spirit should be evident in our lives, they don't happen without some work, at least not to the extent I believe that God desires. Because there's a battle that's going on. I talked about that briefly in the last message too. There's a battle that's raging. The conflict, the battle of the flesh and the spirit. And Paul talks here in verse 16 in 17, he says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." So there's that battle that's raging. Paul talks about the flesh and the works of the flesh, and then contrast that, talks about the fruit of the Spirit and what we are to put on. So this morning, the title of the message is Joyful Living. Joyful living. And I have three points I'd like to look at. The first point is, I'd like to look at defining joy. Secondly, examples of joy. And then thirdly, cultivating joy. We'll go through them in that order. So the first point, defining joy, I talked about it a little bit in the children's meeting, the difference between happiness and joy. In the King James Bible, you'll find the word joy, I believe, 165 times. So we won't be looking at 165 verses this morning. You'll find the word joyful, I believe, 25 times. And another word very closely connected with joy and joyful is rejoice or rejoicing. And the command to rejoice is, I believe, mentioned over 300 times in Scripture. So joy, joyful, rejoice, you'll find many times throughout the Bible. So I believe joy, or having joy, is important to God. And the Greek word for joy, as mentioned here in Galatians 22, is, I believe, pronounced chera, or something along those lines. It is derived from both the words char, meaning grace or gift, as well as the word charos, which means rejoice or to express joy. So biblical joy is defined as the natural response to God's to a grace gift. So I believe Christians can experience joy unlike the non-Christians, the unbelievers, because true joy, well, we'll look at that here soon, but that is found only found in God. And a biblical joy is a resilient cheerfulness anchored in the goodness of God. You can think of it like a lens helping us to see life in a different way. Joy recognizes the pain people experience every day, but also remembers God's kindness, love, and good plans for the world. So as we think about the word joy and what the definition of joy is, so we recognize we live in a world where there is much pain. There's suffering. But joy enables us to see it through a different lens, that we can still see God's goodness through the experiences of life or the difficulties in life. So, thinking about the difference between happiness and joy, we may think of happiness as a temporary emotion that will come and go depending on circumstances, a little bit like Happy Harry. Joy isn't a simple emotion. It's eternal and remains no matter what you go through. So I believe even in our deepest griefs that we experience, there can be an element of joy that we experience because of God's goodness. We might not always go through it with a glow on our face or a smile on our face, but we can experience joy because of who God is. Sometimes in preparing for a message, I will well, it depends on what the message is on. I'll read some information. I often go to a website called gotquestions.org. And as I was preparing for the message, I was intrigued by what they had to share along the lines of the differences between joy and happiness. And I'll read a little bit here. I'm not going to share the entire content that they had on about it, but it was interesting. This is what they said. There is no explicit difference between happiness and joy in the way they are used in Scripture. Both involve the emotions, both are pleasurable feelings, and both are mentioned in Scripture passages that equate the two. If a person is joyful, then he or she is happy. There's no such thing as glum joy. I had to just process this as I was reading this. We cannot drain joy of emotion and still call it joy. When God's Spirit gives us joy, then we are happy people. Christians should be joyful. Happiness should characterize our everyday lives. Of course, there are different types of joy and happiness. There's a joy that comes from the world, such as the fleeting pleasures of sin, spoken in Hebrews 11. There's a joy that is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as we're looking at this morning. And there's a temporary happiness and an eternal happiness. We can call both happiness. We don't need to split hairs between the meaning of joy and happiness. We just need to decide where our joy comes from. Are we happy in the Lord, or are we content with the happiness this world affords? They said also, the joy of the world is hollow, but the joy of the Lord is rich and abundant. The world's happiness will fade with time, but God's people will be happy forever. So that's what some of what they shared about joy and happiness. And I always, or often thought of it as, you know, the very differences, you know, happiness as related in, you know, my circumstances and what's happening around me, whether I'm happy or not. And they're saying, well, in Scripture, it doesn't necessarily, like, you can look at the word happy in Scripture. It's not used nearly as often as the word joy or joyful. But in Scripture, it's not necessarily a big distinction between joyfulness and happiness. So, someone has also said, happiness is a thermometer, while joy is a thermostat. So, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think of that, but happiness is a thermometer that can go up and down. And a thermostat, you know, you set it at the temp, and while joy is a thermostat. So this morning, I want us to choose joy because joy is a trademark of a Christian. Thinking about choosing joy, I think it's something as we go through life, we need to continue. If we're going to be bearing the fruit of joy, we're going to have to continue choosing joy. Because there's things that we face in life that will rob us of joy quickly at times. Even through those things that rob us of joy, we have the choice. Are we going to put on joy or choose to be joyful, or are we going to allow our circumstances to rob us of that joy or happiness, whatever word you want to use? So I want us to choose joy because joy is a trademark of a Christian. And thinking about that word trademark, you might think of like a logo of a business or a phrase a business has. Maybe for an example, if you're driving down maybe the interstate and you see a billboard that has a big yellow M on it advertising food, you probably already know what restaurant that is. McDonald's is known. I mean, you see that big yellow M, you know it's McDonald's when there's a food or billboard advertisement. You don't need to see more than that big yellow M to know what it is. And a little bit like that, joy should be part of the Christian's life. Where you observe a Christian, a level of joy should be evident. I don't know if you've ever observed someone's life, maybe someone that you didn't really know personally, but you could just observe maybe their joy about them or their cheerfulness. And maybe you wondered, I wonder if that person is a Christian. You probably had some of those experiences. I'm not saying a non-Christian can't have happiness and even an element of joy, but I don't think an unbeliever can have the extent of joy that comes from knowing God and experiencing a relationship with Him. I realized as I was studying for this message, I was thinking about my own life, and there are some people just by nature that are just more jolly and cheerful just by nature than others. And this morning, as we think about the word joy, or the fruit, bearing the fruit of joy, I want us to evaluate our own life. And maybe it would be good for all of us to ask someone close to us, am I a joyful person? And I talked to my wife some about it this morning, even about my own life. I don't think of myself as just this bubbly person as I see some people's lives, and yet I hope there is a level of joy that comes from my life. And I think each one of us should desire joy to be flowing out of us. So, moving into the second point, examples of joy, I'll go through these fairly quickly. There's a lot of examples in Scripture that we could look at. I'm just going to look at a few this morning. It's easy to be joyful in the good times, the happy times. And there's examples in Scripture where people just praising God and being joyful in the happy times. And that's the first one I want to look at. I'm not going to have you just turn through to a bunch of Scriptures for the sake of time. But after the angel came to Mary when she was going to have baby Jesus, you know, obviously was something for her to process. But when her and Elizabeth were together, Mary sang a song of praise, or expressed her praise like this in Luke 1:46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So I believe in the times when things are going well, things are going good, it's appropriate and it's right and it's maybe natural to rejoice, to be joyful. And we can praise God through the good times. We should be praising God as Mary was. The wise men, when they saw the star, they're seeking baby Jesus. In Matthew 2:10, it says this, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Again, thinking about when things are going well, it's natural and it's right to be full of joy. And we can praise God for the good things that He has done. There's examples in Scripture of joy in church life. In the beginning of the early church, in Acts 2, it says this, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." I believe as we gather together as a body of believers, there should be an element of joy about us. We should enjoy each other. We should be praising God for the oneness that we have. And that's what the early church, we see them doing. We should also be joyful in obedience. For those of you who are parents, we all enjoy when our children obey with a joyful heart and obey cheerfully. In Hebrews 12:2, it says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So Jesus went to the cross, and Hebrews 12 says, "Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross." There are things that we go through that may not be easy, might be very hard, but because Jesus went to the cross joyfully, Jesus knew what the outcome would be of this, obviously, but there are some things we go through that might not be easy, but we can look to Jesus and how He joyfully endured. We can find joy in obeying the commands in Scripture. There's also a lot of examples in Scripture of joy throughout hardship, or joy in spite of hardship. Acts 16, a familiar account. So Paul and Silas, they are put into jail for sharing the gospel. And it's as I read through Acts 16, it could be a very depressing time for Paul and Silas. There they are, put in prison. They were out doing a good thing. They could have been thinking about why. Why would God allow us to go through this? Why would God have us put into prison for doing a good thing? They could have been thinking about how life isn't fair, this is just isn't going well, and God, where are you at? Well, at midnight, Paul and Silas are praising God. It says in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And we know what took place. There was a miracle that took place. There was the earthquake, and the jailer ended up giving his life to the Lord and his whole family. And I believe when we can be joyful through the hard times, that's when amazing things can happen. I'm not saying good things can't happen when we're only joyful in the good times, or when we're joyful in the good times. Good things can happen then too. But it gets the world's attention when we can be joyful through hard times. This past week I was at her grandmother passed away, and Monday was her funeral. And I observed some people mourning the loss of a mother. And for those of you, when you go to funerals, and some funerals are very, very difficult, especially when it's an untimely death by how we view life. There's a lot of mourning that takes place at some funerals, and it's a very difficult times. And yet I believe even in the most difficult times, by the grace of God, we can experience a joy that the non-Christians can't experience. And and unbelievers observe that. They watch it, and it speaks loudly when there's joy in spite of difficulty. And another example of joy in Scripture. So I mentioned, or I talked briefly about the story of the prodigal son in the children's lesson. So there's different levels of joy as that son comes back to the father. So first, I believe, is that that prodigal son made the decision to go back to his father. That was an element of joy that came when he experienced his father's forgiveness and his father embracing him. That son could experience, I mean, we know it's a picture of a sinner coming to Christ. There's joy in the forgiveness of sins. There's peace that comes. There's reconciliation that takes place. There's much joy. That father, as he embraced his son, there was joy for the father. And the Bible also tells us there's joy in heaven when one sinner repents. So there's many examples of joy that we could look at in Scripture. Luke 15:10 says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And then thirdly, real quickly, we'll look at cultivating joy. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." That word divers can also mean various temptations. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." As I mentioned earlier, it's not so hard to be joyful in the good times, the happy times. But James says, count it all joy when you're facing various temptations or various trials. But we can be joyful through them because we can trust God. God is a just God. God is a sovereign God. And God can work these things for good. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And Paul said also, Paul's the one writing Galatians here. If Paul tells us to put on joy, I believe it speaks loudly the life that he lived. He wasn't just saying this as one who didn't experience any trials. No, he experienced trials that I believe none of us ever have. And yet Paul said in Thessalonians, he said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Paul continued to rejoice. He continued to give thanks. And I believe when we trust God through the trials, I believe is when we just lay it out before God and trust Him through them that we can experience an element of joy. At my grandmother's viewing this past Sunday, I met my great aunt. I don't think I'd ever talked to her before, and sat across from her as we ate. And she shared some of her life story with me. And when she was 21 years old, she was married, had one child, and her husband was in a car accident and was pushed into an oncoming semi-truck, and his life was taken just like that. And she found out shortly after his passing that she was expecting their second child. And just to process all that and have this child that the child's father would never meet, or that the child would never meet their father, and just deep grief that she was going through. And she wrestled with just life isn't fair. And for a time, I think it was very hard for her to... She didn't go into all the details of her life, but it was a very hard time, understandably, that she went through. But through that time of the deep valley, she chose to trust God, and that God can somehow work good out of all this. And she didn't say specifically that she chose joy, but I believe she had an element of joy based that came from the goodness of God. And there was someone through that time that God sent, another widow with another very similar story, that came alongside her and spoke, shared her story with her, that really strengthened her through that time. And she said that lady probably has no idea how much her story and what she spoke into her life, how much that helped her through those trials. And I believe there's things that we go through that might rob us of happiness, rob us of joy, maybe even for a season. It's very hard to trust God. And I believe there's times where God gives us space to wrestle through those times, but I don't think that's a place where we should just stay long term. I think we can find joy even through the hardest times because of trusting God and knowing that somehow out of this brokenness, out of all this hurt, God can still work things for good if I continue to trust in Him. In Peter, 1 Peter, Peter writes about, even though we experience, I'll just read a couple of verses here. Verse 7 in 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, "For that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." So, by the grace of God, I believe we can experience joy that Peter was talking about, that Paul was talking about, even through times of suffering, even through the times of great trials. We can continue to, as Paul said, to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Now, when we go through those temptations, when we go through those trials, at least for myself, I think of this so often, we can dwell on the negative. We can look at maybe the unfair things that maybe we feel like life has dealt, we've been dealt with in life. Or we can be like joyful Jimmy, just counting the blessings that he does have. And we can recognize and count the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I believe it's when we look at the blessings and look at the faithfulness of God, that I believe it is through that lens we can continue on with joy. So, what does a joyful person look like? I think there are times where we should have joy radiating from our lives, from a cheerful countenance. But is it possible to even experience joy even through the hard things in life? And I believe there that is possible, at least elements of that. We can take or be joyful in spite of hard times, again, trusting in the goodness of God. I also recognize we go through life where I think of we face things that are maybe joy killers. You might wake up one morning and maybe throughout the day there are several things that maybe kill your joy. Maybe your day doesn't go as planned. And I've heard it said, I think it was Lester Burkholder that where this would have came from. He made the comment about there's never a bad day. You know, there's every day is a good day. Just some days there's bad things that happen on those good days. And I like to think about it in that way. So some days, the days don't go as planned. Some bad things happen. But I believe we don't need to allow those bad things that happen or those hard things that happen to completely kill our joy. And as I reflect on just even the past week of my own life, sometimes in life I feel pressure. I have a lot of things I want to get done. There's work to be done. There's other things in life that are coming at us. And I believe most of us can relate to these things. There's pressures in life that can weigh us down. And if we allow them to, maybe at times can kill our joy. But I want to encourage us to be a person who is pursuing joy, putting on or portraying the fruit of joy. Proverbs 17:22 says this: a joyful heart doth good, or a merry or joyful heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So if we're experiencing sickness, we might take medicine at times to help us feel better. And if we want to feel better as we go through a day where bad things are happening to us, if we can have a joyful heart, it's like taking medicine. It's doing good to our soul. So I want us to encourage us to have a joyful heart. It doth good like medicine. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There should be something about the joy within and knowing that some of these hardships that we go through are temporary. There's something far greater that's coming if we endure through the trials. If we can persevere through the hardships with joy, there we can be rewarded for our faithfulness. So in conclusion, thinking about joyful living, we looked at defining joy, and you can spend a lot of time looking at definitions of joy and how happiness and joy are closely connected. We looked at a few examples of joy in Scripture, but I would encourage us as we go throughout this week to cultivate joy, or to allow joy to be flowing from us. I want us to choose joy because joy is a trademark of a Christian. And I believe true joy comes from our connection with God, not from life circumstances. And we are called in Scripture to bear the fruit of joy. And I want to encourage you, as you wake up tomorrow, Lord willing, and the next day, to think about bearing the fruit of joy. Because joy does us good, but it also does the world good. And we don't know how many people are observing our life. And you might be impacting people in ways that you don't know because of the joy that is flowing from you. And I'd say especially when they can observe how you can be joyful even in the midst of great difficulty. So God bless you as you put on or bear the fruit of joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I pray that we could be encouraged this morning to bear the fruit of joy and to recognize that joy isn't dependent on just our circumstances and the things that we face in life, but true joy comes from you alone. And I pray that no matter what we're facing, that we could experience that type of joy and that we could trust in you no matter what we're going through, and that we could put on or to bear the fruit of joy, and that it could make a difference not only in our life but in the lives of others who are watching. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.